It's wonderful to be here this morning. My name is Gabriel Chijambu. I'm from Uganda. I am a Ugandan, and I was born in Uganda. I was born long, long time ago, in the times when Idi Amin was the president, in the 70s. So I'm getting a little bit old, but I thank God that in the few years I've been on this planet, he has helped me to grow to this age. Because most of the people who were born in my days, most of them died. Because it was time of struggle. So many people were killed. Parents were killed. And it was a very hard time. So I grew up seeing nothing but death. When Idi Amin left in 79, we had about so many presidents, one after another. And we have a saying in Uganda that where two elephants fight, the insects suffer. The innocent people suffered, the women and children, and those who had no reason to die, died during those days. But again, I thank God that I'm alive today, standing before you to tell you a little bit of what the Lord has done in my life. When I left school, I went and worked with my aunt, who had married a pastor for some time. And this pastor was looking after so many orphans. And I saw the love he showed to so many kids. Kids from all different backgrounds. Kids from the streets. Kids from the slums. Kids from child-headed families. Kids who had no hope. And they had no one to help. So I grew up knowing that love is something we can give without paying for it. And as time went by, my zeal and my desire to know more about the love of God and know about his word grew in me every day. And I became a Christian when I was 18. And I thank God that I did. Because after that, God just gave me a new life. And he transformed my life. And now I'm a new creature. I'm a Christian. And I'm not ashamed. It's all over my truck. It's all over my doors. And I speak about it every day. Because that's what I am. In 1999, I got a chance to come to this country. In 1999. And I went to Cape Henry Bible College down in Lancaster. And then eventually I came to Glasgow. I had not seen snow before in my life. It was in Glasgow. I first saw snow. We used to see snow back home in Uganda, but just in the fridge. But every day, you could just see snow, rain, snow, a little bit sunshine. But I thank God that I survived that time. So I was at ICC from 2000 to 2003. And during that time, God gave me a vision. It was 2002. And the burden for my people back home, the love for my people back home, just grew in me every single day. And God gave me a vision to go back home to start the work of Ruwero. Ruwero is a district. It's a place of death. It's a place of war. But also it's a place of refreshment. It's right in the middle of the country. Every single district is attached to Ruwero. In the 1980s, there was a war between the rebels, or the guerrilla war, and the government. And the president we have now today, he started his guerrilla war in Ruero district in 1980. And he was in that jungle for 5 years. And in 1986, he became the president of Uganda. But between 1980 and 85, so many people died when two elephants were fighting for power and greedy and corruption. And after that, there were so many children left behind, so many widows, so many people, hopelessness were covered all over the place of Ruero. And this is the place where I was going back to. This is the place where God showed me to go. This is the place where I am today. A place of war, a place of hopelessness, but a place of refreshment. That is Kampala. That's a young man holding on a taxi on his wheels. I don't know if he was trying his wheels or if he was trying Jesus. And I love that. We should always try Jesus because he's our hope. Oops. That is a signpost that talks about the work we are involved in, which we are going to see further. That's another signpost that welcomes you to the ministry, Ruero Community Ministries, the home of hope, the home of refreshment. Proverbs 11:25 talks about refreshment, that he who refreshes others shall himself be refreshed. And that's the purpose of this ministry. So I went back to start a church, a farm, a school, an orphanage, and a hospital. When this happened, the first time I thought this was very big. And everybody thought I was crazy. Everybody I told here in Glasgow, when I was studying, I'm going back home to start these things, they said, Gabriel, you'll be crazy. Because I had nothing. I was just a student. And in fact, most of my tuition fees were paid by friends here in Glasgow. I used to work a little bit, but then that was too little to start a big ministry like this. But God is greater than what we think. And he gave me strength to go back home to this jungle. A massive jungle. And we started clearing it with our hands. Loss of strength, loss of hard work. That was 2004. Where I'm standing, there was a big, big shrine where witchcraft was being practiced in this area. And people were used to come to this witch doctor to get evil things, to send it to people. And then humans were sacrificed because when we were clearing that land, we found skeletons and skulls and bones. And the people around us tells us that this man who owned this shrine used to sacrifice people to his gods. The church started in 2005 with nothing. But God had given us land, 22 acres. And we divided it into these five projects. And the church, because it's a Christian ministry, the church has to start immediately. People were wondering what was happening. The gospel was being preached every day. And I went once, 1 week, we preached the gospel for 1 week. And then 85 people came to the Lord. And they were asking us, where can we go? So that Sunday, the church started in a tree. Under a tree. We worshiped the Lord there. And we saw the glory of the Lord. From that day, the numbers started to grow. Eventually, we built that cathedral there. It's a big, massive cathedral. Wooden walls. And a tin roof on top. But the glory of the Lord is in that place. And we thank God for that. The church is wonderful. Because that's where we meet and feel love and feel hope and talk to God and meet new people. So we have Sunday services, as you have here. Wednesday for Bible studies and Friday for night prayers. Friday is a very special day for our lives. We have night prayers from 8 o'clock in the evening until 6 in the morning. Why? Because we know someone, somewhere, is praying for us. and we have to pray. The church has to pray. The church that pray together, win together. So we hold youth camps as part of the programs of the church. Youth camps are for young people from 13 to 35. We call all those people young people because they are very young. And we thank God that we get so many people, 200, 300, 400. And we thank God for our brother Stuart, because he has seen this, he can testify of the joy of sitting and listen to the word of God. The joy of just listening to men like our brother here, who can just explain the word clearly in simple English and everybody understands. So we thank God for these youth camps. So we hold them every year in August, and we thank God that they are doing great work, transforming young people's lives in so many ways. The church now is blue. It used to be brown, but now it's blue. So it's a blue cathedral. Our church grows. It grows from one color to another. And as this church grows, the spirit of the life are also growing. And many numbers have joined the church. So because of that, even there are other members who come without being invited. And those are the termites. They are eating the wood of the church. So because of that, we have made some bricks. And we hope to start building this church. And it will be quite a big church. So we value your prayers. And we hope to build it within 8 to 10 years. Because we want to do it slower and sure. We have a farm with so many animals, like pigs, like goats, and cows. All these products help so much on the farm. We grow also maize and beans and coffee and banana and pineapples. So many crops, because we want to be self-sustaining, self-sufficient with everything we do, that the project can support itself, that the children can feed from all these animals and the crops. Daryl was saying about children. We have so many children we feed every day. And most of the products from the farm are fed to these children. A cow is like a fridge in the village without an electric cable. In the morning, you get fresh milk from this cow, the fridge. And you get cheese and butter from this cow, the fridge. And one day you get fresh beef when it is done. It's a special thing to live with. So we thank God for the cows. We have a borehole. When the ministry started, I told you it was just a big jungle with nothing. And water was a problem. And we prayed and prayed that the Lord would do something. And God gave us some two buildings. And we started collecting water from the gutters. But that was just during the rain season. And when the rain stops, everything dries. Even the wells, the swamp areas, all the animals have to suffer. So people used to walk miles and miles. But God answered our prayers and we got a borehole. It's the same with that generator. That provides light to the whole community. And then boys and girls can enjoy the light. The tractor also works so hard with the farm. Thank you. Plowing the land in time. And we thank God for that. Boys and girls come and help with the farm. And learn how things grow, how things are planted, how things are harvested. And they help so much on the farm. As I told you, we have banana. And we thank God for the farm that God has blessed us with. That is the school bell where the red arrow is pointing. It rings 5 in the morning. And all the boys and girls have to wake up, dress up, clean up, and run to school. They have to be at school at 7 o'clock. When they come, they start cleaning and sweeping and cleaning the compound classrooms and cleaning the toilets everywhere. Now, this is not child labor or torturing. No. We are teaching these kids work ethics. We are teaching them that one day they will be moms and dads. They have to grow up living in a clean environment. We don't have cleaners and people who clean the school. So they have to clean it. And when they grow up, they pass on that knowledge. So we thank God for that. That's a picture of a school of all the kids. The school started in 2006 with 15 kids. Now we have 350 kids, and the numbers are growing every day. The school has reached primary 7 right now, and next year we have to start building the secondary school. The plans are already drawn, and the government has stamped them, which is a miracle. Sometimes to get a stamp from the government, it might take a year if you don't want to corrupt them or you don't want to corrupt somebody. But we thank God that God has answered our prayers. And the motto of the school is to produce an all-round child, not just academic, but spiritually and physically and morally right. They go to assembly at 7:45. They go to their classes to study and then listen to the word of God. We had a group of young people, 23 of them. They came last summer in July, and they helped so much with so many things and the ministry. But also we had a game between Glasgow and Uganda, and one of those won. You know who is the toughest. That's another picture of kids receiving teddy bears. We have about 60 kids in the nursery. And as Deborah was saying, it's very hard to get teachers in the villages. Most people don't like to work in the villages because there is no electricity, there is no water, the pay is less, so they want to live in the cities. So it's a struggle sometimes to get teachers. And we thank God for Sister Anne McFarlane, who decided to leave this place to come to our place in the jungle. And we just thank God that she's there even now. She's right now there in the service. And we thank God that she dedicated her life to work and help the young kids. And kids love her so much. They don't want her to leave, you know. But we will pray that she comes back now and then. Before they go back home, they have to clean the school again. And then pray and read the word of God and then go back home. They do crafts at the school, making mats and ropes and necklaces and footballs and so many things. We also have orphans of AIDS. Their parents have died of AIDS and they have no hope. Some of them left without no relative. When their whole family dies of AIDS, they have no hope. And some of these kids are suffering also with HIV AIDS. So it's a place that gives them hope. And we help and try and get sponsorship for them. Those whom we can't get sponsorship, we help them to come into school to study. Because we never know. One of these boys might be the doctor of tomorrow, the prime minister, the pilot, someone very important when we are old and gray. And they can help us. So we try and bring hope for their future, providing Christmas gifts like those. In that bag there is rice and sugar and cooking oil and a can of Coke. Those are the most important things for a Christmas boy or a girl to have on Christmas. It's not about toys, but to get something to eat, as everybody would enjoy on Christmas Day. We have a clinic. This clinic started last year, and we had prayed and fasted for a health center in this community. People just walk so many miles to go to the nearest health center. But we thank God that we have this clinic now, which was a gift to us by friends of ours of Lakeland, and built it. We have 2 nurses and 1 doctor. This clinic treats all different types of diseases: malaria, typhoid, diarrhea, dysentery, pregnancies, HIV, and people just come and receive hope when they are in pain. Malaria is one of the deadly diseases in Africa, in Uganda, and all other parts of Africa. So we try and help young people, like that girl called Angel. She was suffering from malaria. So we try and buy mosquito nets and give them out to pregnant mothers and even young kids. 2 years ago, Deborah and I lost our firstborn because of malaria. So I don't want any parent to go through what we've been through. And that's why we bring hope and help where we can bring help. Providing health and help them to get healing through the medicine. And also pray that God brings light. Before we got light, that the generator, We had just that small lantern in the clinic. And when it was dark, it was very, very dark. But we thank God now we have a generator that lights everything. So I would like to thank you so much for the support you have given us in the past, the support you have given us even today to allow us to speak to you. And we want to thank you so much for praying for us in Uganda. We have elections coming next year, and it's around February and March. So please pray that we get good leadership, good politicians who fear the Lord, who will let us preach the gospel. That the country like Uganda, that has been wrecked and robbed of its hope, will stand up and shine again for Christ, and the gospel will be preached. So please pray for us. There is leaflets behind the church there. There is most of the pictures you've just seen there on the display board. Take them away. There are small papers like this you can put in your Bible. There is a scripture there. Proverbs 11:25. Please take them and always pray for us. And there is leaflets you can take home and read more of what I've just said. And there is papers like this. If you want to receive newsletter from the charity, please take them. And there is also leaflets like this that tells you about the financial status of the ministry. And then if you have more questions, you can ask my brother there. He has the answers. But I would like to thank you. I would like just to read one verse or two, and then I'll finish. Plenty of time. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, if we have lots of time, then I'm going to preach. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says that the word of Nehemiah, son of Hakariah, in the month of Kislev, in the 12th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanan, one of my brothers came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnants that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayers your servant is praying before you day and night. For your servants, the people of Israel, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. When I read those words, I thank God for men like Nehemiah, who decided to go back to their country to help. Yes, they were dedicated with the work in the palace to work for this particular king. But they chose some time to go back and help. And the Bible said that Nehemiah was distressed by the way the city of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem that has been broken, the gates were burnt. And God gave him a heart for his people, a passion to go and help where he can be of help. Sometimes it's not very hard, it's not very easy to put our hands in dirty work. But God is calling us to be part of his creation, part of his building, part of his reconstruction. God touched the king, as you can read on in chapter 2, and he let Nehemiah go because God had put passion in Nehemiah's heart and a hope for his people. And God gave him knowledge to think and plan for his people and for the work he was going to be doing. And then he put up a team in chapter 2 verse 17 and recruited people whom he could go with and work with. And then we thank God for a team. He always sends us the team we always work with, the people we always work with. Yes, he had persecution, he had problems within and from without. But God was always with them. And I enjoy like to work in teams. And I thank God for Brother Stewart to leave this marvelous place to come to Chidianyonza, a village deep in the village, that even the villagers call it a village in the village. But God is everywhere. Nehemiah faced challenges and disappointments and discouragements. And this brought division within the team. But this work had to go on. The work of the devil is to divide us as a church, that we don't focus on building the walls, that we don't focus on building one another. When there is someone broken and falling apart in the church, your sister or your brother, do you help when they are hurt? Do you help when they are miserable? Do you help when they need love? But the Bible says that Nehemiah never resented. He focused his eyes on the word of God, his sword in his hands, his working spade in his hand, and a spear in his hand. And he walked away to finish the work of God, to help. The Bible says that the walls were finished within 52 days. They were 11 miles long, 18 feet high, 9 feet wide, with 7 gates. It sounds like a big job, but God provides us energy to do great things in a difficult situation. God is always with us when we seek his ways. His ways are greater than ours. And I believe, and as Nehemiah, we have to share the burden to seek where we could be of help in our Christian life, to be missionaries in our own cities. To be a missionary is not about going just, but to start from where you are, starting from your house to your neighbors, telling them what the Lord has done for you. Share with them the love of the risen Savior. It means praying for one another and encouraging one another. So we have to pray for the missionaries all over the world, because they face lots of dangers and lots of persecutions. Some of them are in difficult situations. Nehemiah became a missionary to his own city to try and rebuild the walls of this city. Walls are not just physical walls. Yes, they give us protection, but also we are the walls of the body of Christ. We build the kingdom of Christ. And we are the living stones. So we have to look after one another. And let us always support one another. And the time to act is now. The church is in danger worldwide, with so many problems around it and within it. So many things have been introduced that are really terrible. And sometimes my heart just cries when you hear some of the things happening in the church today. One man said, "The clouds of darkness are gathering, and the forces of those who want to destroy the church grow in intensity." As Nehemiah, whose very name speaks of the Lord who brings consolation to his people, so we too must rise up like the mighty army of God to promote Christianity. Don't be shy to speak about your beliefs, your Christianity. Don't be shy to put a poster on your car that I am a Christian. You may fear to be persecuted, but anyway, you are. Politicians don't listen to Christianity anymore. They like votes. The qualities we see in Nehemiah are needed for the reconstruction of the body of Christ. And we need hope. We need each other. We need to build together. We need to listen to the voice of the Lord. We need to obey his call. When he calls you, will you answer to go wherever he calls you to go? Will you do whatever I ask you to do? And when you obey, you will see his goodness. The harvest is now. To act is now. And I thank God for men like Nehemiah. We can learn from him and build one another and build the church together. And ask God to give us the strength with his Holy Spirit to guide us in everything we do, in every path we move on, in every act of life. The person next to you is your sister. He's not just a church member. He's your sister and he's your brother. When they are hurting, make sure you are there. When they need encouragement, make sure that you give them encouragement. Because God loves you, and you have to love each other. And that's what we do back home. We pray for you. We may not all come here, but we pray for you. Prayer runs faster than words, and God answers our prayers every day. And I thank God for this morning, that I can share these few words with you. God is faithful. Praying so peacefully in my room last night, the Spirit of God filled the room. In the wee of the morning, he waked me up and he asked me to pray for you. So I fell down to my knees, just me and the Lord, and we had a talk about you. Your health and your joy mean so much to him that he asked me to pray for you. So I prayed for you in your troubles. To Jesus I called your name, and I really believe you will receive your answer, for I prayed for you. The children of God from time to time wrestle through pain and despair, but in all situation we're lifted up and encouraged by the words of prayer. So the next time you see me facing a trial, there is one thing you could do. It means so much if you call and say, "My brother, I'm praying for you." So I prayed for you in your troubles. To my Jesus, I mentioned your name. And I really believe you will receive your answer, for I prayed for you. Yes, I prayed for you in your troubles. To my Jesus, I called your name. And I really believe you will receive your answer, for I prayed for